This is Glitterbeam.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another special interview here on Glitterbeam Radio. In a minute, I will be joined, as usual, by Mikey and by the first ever winner of Drag Race, Bibi Zahara Benet. Yes, we're gonna have an interview, we're gonna have a chat via Skype with Bibi. I can't wait. So let's start with a little music with Sparkle, and then we will be back with Bibi Zahara Benet.
Myself up, turn the world on its head. Don't forget what my mama said. People talking since the beginning of time. Unless they paying your bills, pay them bitches no mind.
And if I fly or if I fall, least I can say I gave it all. And if I fly or if I fall, I'm on my way.
Sissy that wow. That wow. See that wow.
The music with Sparkle here on Glitterbeam Radio, and we finally have via Skype connected with Glitterbeam the Queen, Bibi Zahara Benet.
Hey! Hi, everybody! Hello, Tanis.
Baby, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I am, you know, here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You know, we're still like all quarantined home, but I'm finding, you know, finding ways to stay active and stay creative and stay inspired. Like, you know, as artists, we have to do that. So I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm really, really well. It's very, very hot here in London. I mean, I don't do well with hot weather, and this is killing me.
Really? Oh, well, maybe we should go back to Cameroon, to Africa, where I come from, and then you understand what hot weather is.
Oh, my Lord. I would be dead. I'd step off the plane and just be bursting into flames. It would be midnight.
So, Bibi, we got a few questions for you. Get ready.
Yeah, Tani, ask what you need to ask. Hopefully they are all like really, really nice questions.
Of course, we don't do any film here.
Don't get me no trouble, honey.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay, so you've had from birth quite a nomadic experience. Obviously you were born in Cameroon. You eventually moved to France later on, before eventually settling in Minneapolis. So tell us a little bit about your journey, because, you know, we were looking online, I didn't really say much about it. Is there something you want to share?
Well, it's not, I didn't move to France. I had an opportunity to go to France and do some work there, so it wasn't like a move. But so really it would be, you know, living from Cameroon, I came to the U.S., which is, and then I kind of like decided in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that's really where I really created the, really started trying to pursue my career as a performing artist and really creating the brand Bibi Zahar-Benet. And then, of course, with RuPaul's Drag Race, that allowed me to, you know, go to New York, where I actually lived in New York City for 7 years.
Wow.
And then, yeah. And then found myself back in Minneapolis again because, you know, I wanted to be close, more closer to family, you know, because family is, it's important to me. So I decided to come here because I travel around anyway. So it just made sense to be in a place where I could be closer to family and still do what I do and travel for work. So, but that's pretty much my journey. Of course, that's not adding all the other places I've been to in terms of like work, but just in terms of where I reside.
Of course.
It would be that.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Well, your first official experience with drag and with dressing is actually in Paris during a fashion show. And your first drag performance was alongside just a little name like Cyndi Lauper, just the first one, you know, just the first one coming out. So,
just a little performance.
Yeah, you know, just one. The first person
just
at the karaoke.
Little, you know.
Yeah, she was doing a little bit of karaoke in a bar. Yeah. So, these events, not affected you, but how these events have managed to make you the personality that you are, the Bibi is.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that those events like made me in terms of like the who I am. I think that I always tell people that, you know, Bibi Zahar-Benet has always been a different color, a different shade of color of who I am, period. You know, like right from birth, I knew that I was born to be an artist. I knew I was born to perform. I knew that I was born to be on stage because it was manifesting itself in so many different ways as I was growing up, you know, as a child. I remember just going, you know, in Cameroon, not even knowing what drag was, but I was in the bathroom, you know, performing in front of a mirror, just in my fantasy world. Imagining that there was a huge crowd of people just cheering me on, you know, I was already in that world. So those events did not like make, you know, who I am as Bibi Zahar-Benet, but they were like events that I feel like were milestones for me, right? Because the first time I got to dress up, you know, in drag, I always hear like, oh, they dress up in drag, but like really embrace the feminine persona. Maybe I would say that because that's what I try to create a lot in terms of my art. It gave me an opportunity to start getting into the world of what this, you know, really getting to know what this world is. What is this world called drag? Because the first time I dressed up, I didn't even know it was called drag, to be honest with you. I just knew that I was doing fashion. I was wearing a garment to be able to like just showcase a garment. And regardless of what kind of gender I was representing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then the second time was when I was like with Cyndi Lauper, was when I was like, oh, here we go now, honey, you can make some serious coins doing this.
And of course, even the first garment, I suppose that even with that first garment, you were serving the garment and you were serving face.
Oh, darling, you gotta always serve the garment. And I mean, like, you know what? The garment is, you know, the garment can be whatever, but the face, honey, oh, the face always have to be in point.
Honey. Yeah.
Because the face sells the garment. Okay.
But hearing that description you were given when you were a kid in the bathroom, I can literally see you now with the towel over the head.
Right. Just, yeah. And then I would go to like the bedroom and pull out, you know, sheets, you know, like the bed sheets and stuff, and wrap it around and create this gown. Like, I swear I was serving the looks, honey.
Entering the kitchen, Cameroon!
Whatever, honey. Take that basket, put it on your head like a headpiece. Figure it out, honey.
Oh my lord, that's amazing.
That was funny. It's just so interesting to see how far, you know, like when you grew up as a child, and that's why I always tell parents, is like, you know, you're always let your kids be, because, you know, you'll be surprised by what amount of talent is there. And, you know, if you just really support their craft and what their gifts are, that you cannot help but be successful, you know. And I feel like that's the one thing, even with where I come from, is that, like, you know, being an artist is not necessarily the most glamorous job, you know, back at home, or the job that is the most respected. But the truth is that once you just really harness this gift and this craft, everybody wants to be entertained. Everybody needs to be entertained. Like, it's just something you cannot take away, because it's part of our DNA. It's part of what makes us human beings, you know?
Exactly.
So,
you know, imagine if all of the artists just upped and vanished. I mean,
That's what I say. I said, imagine this world without no music, without no comedy, without no dance. Just imagine the world without no artistry.
Yeah.
And then just let me know if that's the kind of world you would want to live in.
Oh,
you know, because I feel like what's even happening now with COVID-19 and this crisis, it's like people are able to even stay in a place of light, because artists are working day and night just to bring some joy and laughter to people right now. So
exactly.
That just even tells you, look at even what we're doing right now. You know, we're still trying to give people something. So that's the power of art, you know? It is.
Exactly. It's totally taken for granted. I think, like, you know, people pushing into these, oh, going to be a lawyer, going to be a doctor. It's like, no, honey, I'm going to stick on a wig and I'm going to make people laugh.
And you're going to come pay me a lot of money, honey, okay? to make you laugh, okay?
You were part of RuPaul's Drag Race in 2009. You know, the historic season, which was, you know, it was lost to me, because I started Drag Race quite late.
No, you didn't say lost. Did you say lost? Did you use the word lost?
Oh, God!
No.
Did you use the word lost?
No, I know, but you must admit, it's been lost for a little bit, at least for the international public.
When you say lost, you mean it's not been accessible?
It's not been accessible. We had the possibility to watch season one after season four, basically.
Yes.
Because Netflix didn't put it on. I believe because of all a matter of copyrights with Logo TV and the things, no?
But we have it now. Mm-hmm. That's what's important. And we've seen it.
Very.
We've gone through. But, you know, so you've been doing all of this, and you were named, as part of New York Magazine, one of the top most 100 powerful queens in America. Okay, so what other great receptions have you had since appearing on RuPaul?
Oh, I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you were the first one.
I hate talking about my resume. You can just go Google, honey, and Wikipedia, you're gonna find it. But it's been a lot, and I think that it's I am always very humbled. I always say that, you know, I'm always very humbled that, you know, we, you know, not even just me and my sisters, all of us that come out from that show, to be able to have the kind of recognition that we get. Because when I was getting into the industry, you know, the reason why I never wanted to, you know, do Drag Race at first, you know, when the opportunity was presented to me, was because that I felt like every time I saw drag entertainment, people were always laughing at it instead of like laughing with it, if that makes any sense. And so yes. I was like, well, if this is what I am going to do for a living and this is what's going to be my career, I have to be very, very careful with how I present myself and what kind of platform I present myself, especially the fact that nobody back at home even knew that this is what I was doing, you know. And I felt like I had to be seen in a certain kind of light, which was very important to me. So when finally I was aware that, you know, RuPaul was very involved with the show, and you know, it was his show, I was like, okay, well, I admire him and he's like, you know, a mentor to me, so why not be able to just like, you know, do the show? And so that's how I became I got into the show, and now the rest is history. So I'm very humbled. I'm humbled by the accomplishments. I'm humbled by the recognition, and you know, I'm grateful.
I have to say, this is very true, because you know, but even listen to you and talking about it anyway, and you were like, just a few seconds ago, you were like, yeah, and then you know, I just entered the show, and I was like, yeah, and you won it as well, just like that.
Well, but you know what's so funny is that I did not like even the win. I get asked the question a lot, and we're like, oh, how did it feel to win? And to be very honest with you, I did not even really grasp the idea that I won the show until when, like, maybe like a couple of minutes after RuPaul had already even pronounced me as the winner. Because throughout the whole, remember, we're going into a competition, we don't even know what we're competing for, you know, like they tell you that you're competing for that, but you really don't know what you're competing for. So we're just going through all these challenges every week and just saying, okay, what's the next? Because it was like this like roller coaster. It was psychological, spiritual, religious. It was all these kind of roller coasters that we're going through, you know. And then when I was on the final end with my sister Nina Flowers, who I love very much, she's one of my best friends, it's like at that point it was like we whispered to each other's ears and we were like, let's just give them a show. Yeah. And if you watch that lip sync, it didn't feel like we were competing against each other. It felt like we were performing with each other and just giving people a show. So it was after RuPaul had said, okay, you are the winner, I was like, oh wow, so I won this.
Yeah, no, I have to say this is absolutely true, and it's amazing, even because it was the first season, literally there was no possible preparation to it. You didn't know what you were going to face week by week.
Oh no, honey, they just said bring four suitcases and just pack whatever you
yes can. there is no and but then after a few years, you return to the competition.
A few years, I don't know, a lot of years.
in All Stars. And I think I know, on internet, people says that you weren't 100% convinced about returning. But I like the fact that you returned, because you demonstrated more of your talents entering All Stars with the new set of challenges and, you know, the show that in the meanwhile has changed and things like that. So seen the first version, you see the updated version. What are the main differences?
Well, honey, the only difference now is that they have a budget, honey.
The coins! They got the coins!
They got coins. They have coins to build a new set. They have coins to make the girls win $100,000. They have coins or everything. But, you know, to be very honest with you, when I finally made up my mind that I was going to do it, after being convinced to come back and do it, I felt like there was a voice that was still missing after a couple of years. I felt like being the global girl, or I just felt like with my kind of drag also has a point of view, right? And I felt like that was a part in the show that was still missing, that I felt like this, the new kids, and I say that with love, you know, had to be able to be introduced to, you know, and come back and really show people what it was, where it all started and all that. And when you ask me about in terms of the difference, it's just the money, because the same attitude I went into All Stars 3 was the same attitude, you know, when I did season 1, which was to be my authentic self. I feel like honesty and being honest and being truthful with who you are, with who your identity is, would always take you really far. And that was the same with season 1. I was not going to go, even after seeing all the seasons, I had no strategy going into All Stars 3 with, I'm going to be this kind of person. I'm going to act this way. I'm going to do this. No. I'm going to still be BB. I'm going to be the BB that won the first time, as well as the BB whatever that's happening in All Stars 3. And that's how I went into the situation. And to be honest with you, it's also great working with other artists that started after you, you know, because I've always said, like, you always have to grow as an entertainer, you have to grow with your art, and there's always something where new blood, and I say that with love, is that new blood can always teach you something, as well as they can learn something from you. So it was that kind of an experience that when you go into it, you then enjoy it better than just saying, I'm going to compete, if that makes sense.
And I have to say, in challenges like the reading challenge, you were very nice in reading the other queens.
I was very polite.
Polite? I don't know if Kennedy Davenport agrees on that.
Well, trust me, you know what it is when you want to throw a shade. The best kind of shade is when you're polite.
Of course. Of course.
When you're not breaking a sweat, honey.
Of course. So, but that was for me.
You give a shade and you're smiling.
Yes, that was for me the best one, which I see in not many queens. The fact that you were, you know, very, very, very smiley, very polite, but throwing shade all over. So
what did you think of when you heard I was going into the show, All Stars 3? What real talk? What did you
The first
I was excited.
No, the first I, thing to be honest with you, I thought it was extremely fair. Because of course, in my opinion, well, watching it from here, of course, we don't have an idea on how in US is going. But for me, the show, in terms of also number of viewers, has been growing up. And for me, it's absolutely right to give some of the queens that are extremely talented. And I was thinking of you. I was thinking of Nina Flower. I'm very happy that Regina now goes into All Stars. I think give them again the platform. And let them also show a little, because if you hear in some of the season, a lot of queens says, yeah, but this is the old Drag Race, this is the old part, this is the first season. And I think that's not true, because a lot of talented queens like you have evolved with time. You're not the same person, and we saw that. So for me, it was extremely fair. And I was very, 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 very pleased with the fact that you shone, that you sing, that you dance, that you are extremely funny, that you throw a lot of shade. Still, Kennedy Davenport for me is the non plus one, is the best one. Bless her.
Mikey, what did you think?
So I honestly loved it. When I heard you were coming back, because I started on Drag Race quite late. And I did go back and I hunted through the series, and you know, I did manage to, let's say, somehow watch the first season of Drag Race before it came out. And I was just like, oh my god, I was like, I loved it, because the fact that I like seeing things from start to finish. You know, I'm one of those guys who it's like, you know, if I'm collecting cards, I can't just have one of them, I need every single one of them, sort of thing. And when I was watching the show, seeing your performances was absolutely incredible, and then seeing you come back into you know, All Stars, which for me, it was, when anyone who watches this can see, there was definitely a budget on the first one. We can see that, it's clear. But then seeing you come into this, you know, new style with all of the, you know, good cameras, background, the backlight, and you know, the snap, the crew guys and stuff like that. All of those were just like, it was just great to see you in that environment. And it also was good for me when I was watching you guys, seeing how, even though they wouldn't admit it, but seeing some of the younger queens learning from some of your experience. Because let's say you went in there with you know, this pedigree of winning this, the first ever one. And you set the standard for every single queen after that.
Well, you know what I mean? when BB entered All Stars, Milk was dying. You can see the face. She was dying. Say, she had the crown already. She has a crown.
You know what? And that's what's so funny. That was what was so funny about All Stars 3, because regardless of what, and it's just television. It's just, I think it's just human personality, because it's like a lot of people, even regardless of how well I did not want to see me win a second crown again. They're like, oh sure. So everything I did, they discredited.
But now I won the tea from you.
And then now it's like people come now to me, so funny, because years later people are coming up to me and they're like, you know what, you truly should have won the crown. I'm sorry. I'm like, you don't need to apologize, you know, it's all good.
On the window pane.
Bibi, we told you the tea. Now I want you to spell a tea. To spill a tea here.
I'll spill what?
When in All Stars, uh-huh. When there is always that sort of sweet and sour winning the challenge because you need to eliminate someone else. At least until this season, and it's definitely something very difficult. And how much do you think queens are attached to the $10,000, and how much they think I'm actually not gonna risk it, I'm gonna fuck up a little bit the lip sync? Because I've read on internet that you actually decided to play it a little bit down in one particular lip sync because you knew already what was going on. Is that true?
That I already knew what was going on. You heard, you're reading too much in the from that internet. Okay. That internet is giving you too much.
Okay.
No. I mean, I can speak for myself. I don't think it would be fair for me to speak for others. I think that the $10,000, at least in my situation, was not like when I was doing the lip sync or choosing who was going home and who was staying. It wasn't about the money or the $10,000. It never is. And I don't think that a lot of my sisters will tell you the same thing. It's not really about the money. It's like you really have to try your best. It's a very difficult position to be in, right? So you have to try your best to be as honest and as just as possible. You know, even when people want to say, oh yes, you're playing the games, yes, maybe that exists. But when it came to my situation, when I had the opportunity to send someone home or keep someone, I had to be very honest, because I always told myself that if I'm going to be authentic and I'm going to be honest with who I am, I cannot go and play these little games here and there. So the way I made my choice was about who had the best report card and who had to stay because they had the best report card. And I think even when I was on All Stars 3, I wish that was the same situation going into, you know, the finale, is that you judge people from who has the best report card to go through, you know. But again, you're dealing with human beings who have a human relationship with each other and all that good stuff, and so that all comes into play. But I tried my best in that situation, to be honest.
Which is good, because like when we've seen it on other times and you see them chatting in the background and they're like, oh, you know, I've got a chance to send her home because she's possibly stronger than I am. And I was thinking, it's like, yeah, that might be the case. I was like, do it fairly, you know, do it fairly.
Well, and I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with those kind of, like, if you watch like Big Brother and all, what, when you're going into a situation where you know that these are the rules and this is what you can do to eliminate someone and do this and do that, that's different. It's a different kind of mindset. It's a different kind of competing strategy. When you go into a space where now then the rules get changed as time goes by. When you're just thrown into it, you're like, dang, what am I supposed to do now? You know what I mean?
I love
Let me know right from the get-go.
I love how you answer my question. I love it. I love
how
it.
How did I answer your Virginia, what did you...
I love it.
Bitch, what kind of tea were you looking for?
Maybe. It's fine. I'm not going
to... Tell me the truth. No. I want to know what...
Okay, I want to know if it's true that you played down the lip sync because you had the sort of, you know, idea that Della was eliminating herself.
No, I did not. I will never play down a lip sync.
Okay.
I will never, honey. Honey. When it comes to performing, that's the one thing that you don't want to. You do not. I would never play down how I perform because I want someone to win. I'm gonna give you exactly. And if you go back to the footage, you can see exactly. I did exactly what I wanted to do. How I was gonna do the song and how I would perform the song.
Cool.
You know, and then whatever decision after that is just left to.
I was a little bit shocked to read it because I don't think you ever. You know, you never really hold back when you perform.
why would you do that? Because, like, you know, the thing is that you don't get to see us really perform. You know, it's unfortunate to say that it's when we're either in the bottom two or the top two that you get to watch us perform. That's a, honey, that's a time to have a moment. Okay,
steal the stage. So,
you know, that's the time to really have a moment and really shine in what you do. So you can cannot play that down. You should never play that down. You know?
Good.
Now, perfect enough answer. Drag Race.
Yes, fuck Drag Race. We've done it. You're more than Drag Race, okay? You've done more than Drag Race. We've discussed it. Let's put it in the bin. Go on. So you're obviously you're doing some of the new projects at the moment. So you're one of the Fab Four of the drag, the four of drag. Sorry, let me get this right. One of the Fab Four of Dragnificent. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you're doing the thing with Jujubee, Thorgy Thor, and Alexis Michelle.
Yeah. So
we were still waiting to hear that when we are going to be allowed to see this in the UK, because obviously we are the poor cousins and we don't get the stuff straight away.
Also, you haven't even watched it yet.
No, so we got it. No. We know it's coming. We don't know the date, so we're waiting for TLC.
Oh, yes, it's coming. I know. Oh, my gosh. I would love to see what you have to, when you watch it, you need to let me know what your thoughts are. Okay. I would love to hear, yeah. But it's really a fun show. But sorry, I know you were going to ask the question. Go ahead.
Right.
Sorry, okay. Tell us a little bit about the show, but don't spoil it, because we haven't seen it yet. But what can we expect?
Well, I mean, Dragnificent is like four, you know, four amazing drag artists, you know, who we travel around the country and we go to all to these different places and we meet these different women, you know, who, you know, have different stories. And we bring some light and we bring some love and we bring some transformation into their lives and really help them in their, you know, in their new adventures and how they're moving forward with life. And basically what I really love about this show is, like, you know, people always see us as entertainers, which is great, but when you really look at us, we are all like really like, there are so many different layers that make who BB is, correct? And I can use me as an example. It's because what a lot of people do not know is that prior to even doing drag or being a drag artist and building my name as a drag performer, is I was doing weddings, I was doing events, and I still do that. Like, that's what I started doing, you know, before becoming BB. And, you know, Dragnificent allows us to show those different sides of us, those different skill sets. So when I go in as an event planner, which I'm a skilled event planner, and Alexis go in as a makeup and hair artist. You know, Jujubee goes in like with spiritual mentorship. Dodgy goes in also as like someone who brings music into, you know, and entertainment. So we bring all these different skills other than just being performers, you know, into the situation. Yeah.
I can't stop. I'm sorry. I need to ask this because I can't. Because now you're working with Thorgy Thor, and you were both on the same All Star season. And
I thought we were done with All Star.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. But I need to, because I just literally watched this particular episode literally a couple of hours ago. When Thorgy Thor was eliminated, I saw your sort of cut off, and you were commenting the show after. What did he draw on the mirror?
On the mirror? I can't remember. You mean like when...
When Thorgy was eliminated.
Uh-huh.
She drew something on the mirror. You don't remember what it is?
I think she it was like a male part. Right? I think it was like a male part.
Yes, because I was dying.
It was the male part.
Yeah. No, because I remember that you said,
Jania, you should be well versed to what these look like. You should be telling us.
I was dying on the sofa listening to Bibi saying, Miss Thorgy drew a picture of what the. She drew a picture. So,
you know, some of those things that you, I mean, like, what are you gonna say? Like, what are you gonna call it?
Of
like,
course. Like, So, now back to the 2020 Nubia. I hope I pronounce it properly. Or Nubia. Is that correct, Nubia? A tour that you have created, produced, and headlined to celebrate black drag queens through original music, group choreography, video installation, live vocals, lip syncs, narrative-driven performance art. So how this idea came to you?
Well, I've always told people Nubia is a show by, you know, people of color or by queens of color, but it's a show for everybody, right? For everybody. Because I also feel like there is, and that's why even when you went back to Drag Race, that's why it's like when I had the platform, I had to showcase, you know, different places of where I come from. And I always say I don't only represent just Africa, I represent the global girl, right? The global artist. Because I think that when you're able to experience different cultures and different races and different sorts of entertainment, different kinds of music, it just really enriches your life. It really enriches who you are. It just makes it so much beautiful. And I feel like being here in America and staying here in America, for a lot of times, we are still in this bubble of just what we know and what we see. And that's the all in all. But when you start opening it and just opening your mind and just looking at it as a white canvas where you have to paint whatever that is, it is so beautiful. So I go back to that's why Nubia came, because it's like you do not really get to see a lot of girls of color and the entertainment. Like you don't see a lot of representation, right? And I think that there is just so much that you know, even people of color bring to the table, especially when it comes to entertainment. And you can know, and I know that for a fact, because you get our fans, and it's not just black fans or you know, it's white, black, everybody say, why are we not seeing these girls? Why are we not seeing these girls? You go online, every time I get that in my inbox, I'm like, okay, we also need to be proactive to change the situation. Because if, for example, promoters are not necessarily putting, you know, us because of whatever reason that is, then we are the artists. It's our gift. You know, promoters who take our gift and use our gift, it's because we allow them to have that. But our gift is ours. And so we have the power. And it's not just as black entertainers, but just as artists in general. We have the power to make a difference and make a change. So I was like, okay, let's gather the girls, let's gather the sisters, let's come together, let's put our money together, let's not, you know, no sponsor, let's just bring our own little money that put it together, and then let's create something where our fans and where people that just love great entertainment can come in and witness it. And when we did it in New York City for 3 nights, that's why we had 3 sold out shows. And when you looked at it, it was a sea and a melting pot of everybody, exactly how I prayed that it would be. He was white, he was black, he was gay, he was straight, he was yellow, he was purple. Everybody was in the house coming to represent.
Oh my God, who was purple?
I was purple. But it was so empowering to see that, because it just goes to say that, number one, if you just, even with just promoters or people who book shows, and if you just allow it to just happen and manifest, it's something that is surprising. It's something that is going, it's very beautiful and very strong. And that's what Nubia is all about, right? It's like, when you come, we are going to show you what we want you to see and to show you how we perform, not what you want to see. Because that's the problem with all these shows now. Like the fans will be like, oh no, I want BB to be the African queen. No, I don't have to be the African queen if I choose not to be the African queen. So if you come to Nubia and I choose not to be the African queen, then I'm not going to be the African queen, you know? So
you're always the queen.
We'll take that, honey. What did you think of it when you heard about Nubia? Eugene, what did you think of
it? I thought it was a very, very nice project, looking also at all the queens involved and things like that. I'm very curious to see it, really, in reality. I'm really curious to be involved in that, because it looks like, from reading and, you know, and listen to other people talking about, it looks to me like a very immersive performance, which is not the typical, not the classic show. There is art 360 degree, and I think it's very important also for all the reason that you just stated, which is extremely important. Probably here in UK the situation is a little different compared to US, but we definitely have always
why
a wind.
Why is it a little different?
Well, I don't think we have there are parts, in my opinion, at least looking from external, that I think there are parts of the United States where it's a little bit harder to be a performance of color, to be gay, to be lesbian, to be bisexual, to be queer. In UK, the situation probably is a little bit better. Not that we don't have problems, because we do, but in my opinion, you also right now are in a political situation that doesn't help much.
Right.
So, right now. That could change. That could change very soon, in a few months. Register to vote if you are in America. Now.
Right. So, what I'm hearing you say is that the UK is a little bit more accepting, maybe, and more, I don't want to use the word liberal, but like more accepting. Is that what you
I think I've seen? Yeah. I've seen more acceptance. I've seen more acceptance regardless of what you do and what type of the art of you do. And if you...
I can see that. I totally can see that.
If you see, even if we go back to the most streamlined things, there is Drag Race, there is a representation of drag. If you see the UK version, there are several type of queens that would never make the American version, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I think it's culturally, it's always been more eclectic, more open, more syncretic, you know, the syncretism of, you know, so I think that.
So from me, which actually grew up here. So like, obviously, cause you're from Italy, you know, you're originally from Cameroon, now in America. For me growing up here, from being a child to now, I've seen huge swathes of changes. I mean, from what it was to what it is now, it's not even recognizable anymore. But I think one of the things with comparing issues such as, race, gender, sexuality, all of these things that are going up, I don't think, wherever you are in the world, you're all somewhere on this scale. I don't think there is true equality for anybody yet, which is a sad thing. And it's obviously something that we should all continue to fight for.
But totally.
I think what we have to remember is the things that we see in the news are very subjective. So the things that we see about America might not be what Americans see about America. And we might have two different views upon that, and sometimes vice versa.
Well, of course, if you watch Fox in America, you probably have a different view. We are in UK, we can say this. Yes.
Yes, you can do it.
Yes, I can say it.
Yeah, you can totally say it, honey. You can totally, you are free to say it.
Okay. Yes, yes.
You're allowed to say it.
Oh, so obviously you're doing a lot of performing, okay? You're doing, like I said, you're doing a lot of things with Nubia and everything at the moment as well, but you also have music out as well. So you released a new EP called Broken English,
which is mine, basically. My broken English. It's like,
we have arguments about this.
It's an EP based on how I talk. BB wanted
to. It's like all of us how we talk.
BB wanted to, you know, give me a present and say, oh, I'm gonna name.
There you go. Thank you.
I've heard your voice and I'm gonna name my EP after you. Yes. Thank you, BB. Thank you.
You're very welcome, honey.
But obviously, so we're going to listen to A Body on Me very soon after this as well. So your EP, Broken English, is going to be available on iTunes and all of the music platforms. So where did the inspiration for this come from? Because obviously you've done a lot of things. You released Cameroon in 2010. You did a re-release of a Little Respect in December for the Harvey Milk Institute, which was really good. Dirty Drums in 2012 and Face in 2014. So where does this new
and Jungle Kitty and all of the above?
I've got a little tiny selection. If I read them all, I'd be here for a long time.
Thank you. I get it. No, but yeah. Well, the inspiration, the Broken English actually represents where I am right now with my music and my musical journey. And last year, the reason why I never, a lot of the songs that I had released prior to this project was because I was from a show, right? So when I came out from Drag Race, I did Cameroon, I did Faith, you know, I was on All Stars 3, I did Jungle Kitty, because it was a lot of things, that's how people celebrated me on the show. So I came out and then I did a song to really celebrate, what my fans, because my fans were always asking for that kind of music. But Broken English is really, really, I feel like it's, to me, one of, it's like a very dear project for me, because it really represents who I am, you know, and where I come from, and you know, which, and my children's homes, which I really have always wanted to create a project that celebrates two of my homes, which is my birth home, Africa, as well as my children's home, America. And I've always said that, what about like fusing all these two styles of music, you know, like, so you have the like the Caribbean and Afro influences, but then you also have like, you know, the pop sensibility. So if you listen to the whole project, you get to hear all those different kind of sounds. And when I was starting as an artist, especially as a music artist, I've always said that, you know, to me the drag comes secondary, because what a lot of people do not know is that I am a true musician, and you know, I write a lot of music, I write a lot of the harmony. I create a lot of harmonies, and I am, when I create my music, I go through the whole process with the team of people I work with. I just don't sit and have somebody just produce a track and say, here you go, take, do something about it. I am in the whole process. So when I was growing up and being in this whole artist music kind of stuff, I always had producers that, when I, especially in America, that said, hey, speak this way or talk this way or do this way, because it's more accessible to many people. But through my experiences, the things that made me so unique were the things that I celebrated. People said, love the fact that I was different. People love the fact that I came from Cameroon. People love the fact that I spoke differently. And I'm just like, why not be able to just create this project that is authentic mine? Not saying that everything else has not been, but this one really represents me, because it's not tied with anything. It's not tied with a show, me coming out from a show. It's just BB. And I think that Afro music, Afro pop, fusion now, it's the new way to go, especially here in America, especially giving our fans something else that they are not accustomed to, you know, give them something else to enrich their ears. I always tell people, honey, if you like vanilla chocolate, you might probably like, you know, like dark chocolate too, honey. Okay. give the girls something else, honey, and they love it. And I'm just so excited that everybody is really, you've had so many great reviews, especially with the fans as well too, so I'm really grateful for that.
Oh, it's amazing. So you sound very much like me, actually, where you have to get involved with the whole process, because I genuinely tell you about me, I'm very much a perfectionist.
Well, yes, someone say perfectionist, someone say annoying, it depends.
Eugenio.
No, I was talking about Mikey. I was talking about never. I wasn't talking about you, BB. I would never.
Mikey, do you hear that, man, honey?
Will Christmas comes round, you'll be getting fuck all from my Christmas list.
But
Eugenio, have you listened to the project?
Of course I do, and I can proudly say available on iTunes. I always dreamed to say that. I did, and I like the fact that in the five songs of the album, you can, in my opinion, it's BB was perfect in what she said. It's BB Sahara, yeah. Benet, 100%. Not just the BB that you saw on TV, or just on Drag Race. If you manage to watch Dragnificent, there is another little bit of BB that you can see there. So of all these bits, you can sort of put them together, and I think, from the music point of view, is definitely a massive evolution of what you published before. It's like a proper, I can see in all your release that you, particularly on the sound, you've been working a lot.
Yes.
And there is a lot of research. Yes. So my suggestion is, it's available on iTunes, on Apple Music, Spotify, whatever you want. I would like to suggest whoever is listening, whoever is going to buy it, because baby, is, come on, a little bit of coins, please. Available on iTunes. If you listen to it with your headphones. That's my personal suggestion.
Totally. But I always tell people that even with like every kind of song, there's just like, I always, even my friends, when I sent the music to them, I'm like, please put on your good headphones.
Yes.
Okay? Put on your good headphones, because like, because you get to really really, really immerse yourself and really hear the different sounds and sensibilities and vocal arrangements and harmonies, you really get to experience it. Like, not just with my stuff, but just like with music in general. I always listen with headphones because I really just want to just be in it 100%. And I'm thank you, Eugenio, for saying that, because also with Broken English, I wanted to create a project where, you know, even if you did not know who was singing, you know, you just love because it's great music. And there's nothing wrong with drag music, but drag music is also very specific to a specific kind of person. But I think music is like, I've always wanted to be music that is very inclusive, where everybody can just like, it's not who you are, what you're wearing, whatever, you just can throw it on and it just makes you feel good, you know. And that's what really Broken English represents.
And I think one of the important thing, and one of the reason why I suggested to listen to the headphones, having listened to it more than once, it's nice to pick up different things every time you listen to the songs. In particular, in my case, was one of the song called Turn Up.
Yeah.
Every time I listen to that song, I pick up something that I didn't pick up the time before that I listened. So I,
you better know. She listens to that music. Yeah.
Excuse me. Do you think that we do the interviews here? Oh yes. Tell it.
Mikey's there smiling. Mikey, tell the truth. Have you listened to that project? It's okay if you've not. Have you listened to Broken English, Mikey?
I've listened it for both. I can actually tell you, I don't know, Saturday inside my sitting, this man sees some shitty.
You see, that's how you know that you sure listen to that thing. You better get it, you better get that shit. Mikey, your laptop, you better go. Mikey, go to
I'll get away. Literally tonight, and I'm going to listen
I'm
to
sure
it.
I'm sure you guys. I'm oh. sure you have Spotify, honey. Or I'm sure.
Oh, I do.
iTunes, okay. No Spotify. No Spotify. No Apple Music. Fucking buying on iTunes. What? Available on iTunes.
Do you get to be an ambassador for iTunes? Are they paying you a percentage or something?
BB, between me and you, the coins from iTunes are more than the coins from Spotify and Apple Music.
Oh, totally, honey, because with iTunes you can get it for $1.99, honey.
So now, with DCP, one of the songs, you launched a challenge on social media, which is a particular challenge on the song Body on Me. What's the challenge? So we can actually be part of it.
Well, the choreographer who is Walker, you know, actually who did the choreography. A lot of people would like have just naturally been performing the song and just doing the song. So we are like, okay, let's do a Body on Me challenge. You know, this is what it was in the video. So just, you know, mimic this and then express yourself, basically. I just want people to dance. I want people to just be in their kitchens, in their homes, in their bathrooms, in their bedroom, wherever you are, just dance, honey. Just move, girl. Move. Just body, honey. Shake that body, honey. You know? It's just a way to bring light to people, especially now. You know, give people something to do. And, you know, people are sending in videos. So, Eugenio and Mikey, I'll be waiting for your
video.
Okay?
We need to do a video submission.
More than the video, I want to do the photo, like the cover of Broken English. You can't see it on Skype, but I'm doing it. I really want to do it. Pity for the beard and completely no hair, but completely bald. But I can do the bare version of Broken English. It's fine.
Okay, I'm waiting for it. I promise I will post it when I see it. I will say, here you guys go, honey. This is, the UK is representing, honey. They always represent. Here they go. Oh my god.
See, I'll revert back to you as a child. I'll have the towel, okay? So towel
fantasy.
Oh my god. So, last thing I want to ask you is, how is your relationship with your fans? Because we've interviewed many different queens and each one has a different take on their perspective of fans or buds, is it the ones I've called them? And you know, had so many different names. So what is your personal relationship?
Well, buds like? Was La Ganja for other reasons.
Yes.
Oh, you mean my BB babes? You know, I always like to, I call them BB babes. I always like to say supporters as opposed to fans, because I feel like fans are always like for a season, in my opinion. I feel like, you know, people can become a fan of you for a season or whatever, for some reason you inspire them or something that they're excited about you, and then all of a sudden you're dropped. But I feel like supporters are always there with you throughout, you know, right when you start your journey to and they support you right all the way to the very end. So I like calling my fans in quotes supporters, and I've always had such an amazing experience with them. I think that without no support, then what we do, it's meaningless, right? If we can just sit in our rooms and create art and we cannot gift other people with what we create, then what's the point for us creating? As artists, our gift is to gift others. And that sounds a little preachy, but it's the truth, you know? So what I do, the fact that I can produce music and it affects somebody a certain kind of way or makes people excited, or the fact that I can be on a television show and people are like inspired because of my story or whatever, all of that is the reason why as artists we do what we do. And I've always had such a strong support from the people that are really, really true supporters of BB. It's always been amazing. Even if you go through my social media, I never go with anything that is negative or anything. I always try to speak light, because it's very important that people, you know, and my supporters see light. And so I have a great relationship with them, and I'm always very grateful as it grows every day, you know.
Oh, amazing.
I don't think that it's the case with just like fans in quotes in general. I think that, you know, not trying to go too deep into it, I feel like when I started Drag Race, you know, there was really no social media, and social media was not really like the thing at that time. And now with social media, it's also a blessing, but it's also a curse, you know, because I feel like, you know, I can speak for my fans or my supporters, as I call them, you know, being very supportive, but that's not the case with a lot of people, because there's still so, especially when you come to just the sisterhood of Drag Race, there's still so much hate and a lot of, there's just so much negativity that always comes from the fandom, you know. And it's like, I always tell people, like, just imagine the world without us. Forget about who you like and who you're drawn to or who you're not drawn to. Just imagine if there was a world without drag, or there was a world without Drag Race, if there was a world without people entertaining you, what would you do? So you have to take some time to just, you know, and it's not just my supporters supporting me, but really just supporting the craft and supporting the artistry and being really positive, because it takes a lot to do what we do. It takes a lot. And we are ambassadors to our community. We are ambassadors to the entertainment community, to our community. And we also need to be fueled. We need the gas to be able to keep doing what we do and burning and working. So it's very important, not just for me, but for, it's very important that we support everybody. It really is.
Thank you.
It is. It's amazing. But £10, I bet if people weren't doing Drag Race or Drag Race doesn't exist, they'd be fucking complaining about something else.
That's true.
If they're not complaining about one thing, about
something else. Bibi, I want to thank you for being on Glitterbeam with us. And also, if you can pass to Producer Entertainment, our apologies, because we said that we will keep you 10 minutes. Fucking hell is an hour, so they probably hate you.
I had such a great time talking. I do. I'm a talker myself.
Okay. They probably hate you. They probably hate us, but it's fine. It's fine. Just say.
No, I had such a great time. You guys are like, I'm so awesome. You are between, so awesome. You're so full of light.
Between you, Bibi, between you, me, Mikey, and a few thousand listeners, if Producer Entertainer ask, just say that it lasted 10 minutes. We do the Italian way. We do the Italian way between us.
Well, it's the African way too, honey. You know, 10 minutes is like 1 hour, honey.
Okay? Yeah.
Who talks for 10 minutes? What are you going to ask? How was your day? It was great. Then that's the end of the interview, right?
That's the typical British conversation. Are you having a good day? Yes, I'll see you later.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
So, before you go and before we listen to Body on Me, we would like you to leave a message that we can play on rotation on the station as well. So we're now going to listen to Body on Me. But first, I would like you just to say hello to all the Glitterbeam listeners. So every time we're going to broadcast Body on Me, or Banjo, or some other song, we can play your hello to Glitterbeam as well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Are you ready?
Ready when you are.
Hi everybody, this is your very own Bibi Zahara Benet, and you're listening to one of my favorite stations, Glitterbeam.
Music with sparkle, Glitterbeam.
Place all eyes on me, trying to catch a wave, ain't no easy. Don't catch his face, that I ain't me. Try to find my place with the body on me. You better know your place, act a fool with me. Step up to the place, I'm a real OG. Tell me by the way, throw it back, baby. I see him for your face, you are easy.
My body don't ready, rock me steady, break these legs. Body on me, body a body a body a body a body a. Put your body on me, body a body a body a body a body a. Put your body on me, body a body a body a body a body a. Put your body on me. All your plans, not just you and me. Come and take a chance, come and take a chance, come and take a chance.
When I back it up, push it back on me. If you play, I'm rough, I'm a real OG. No, if you get enough, when you groove on me, I'ma call your bluff, I'ma call your bluff, I'ma call your bluff.
My body don't ready, rock me steady, break these legs.
And with this, we are at the end of our special interview. I hope you have had a lot of fun like we did over Skype. So, of course, the appointment with me is tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with the Morning Beam. And I leave you with amazing music with Sparkle. You're on Glitter Beam. Have a great night.
This is Glitter Beam.